Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, it's Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. It's July 23rd, 2013. It's the middle of the 5th annual July Good Beer Month. I got my good buddies from the Good Beer Seal. We got Ken from Kilmeyer's in Staten Island.
How you doing?
You're like the southernmost point of New York State.
Yes, sir.
You just told me that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult to give directions when people ask, how do I get there from the ferry terminal? I kind of gulp a little bit when they ask that.
Kilmeyer's is from 1890. It's like the south of Staten Island. It's still part of New York State.
Yes.
And Heather Rush, our good buddy from Pine Box Rock Shop.
So How you doing, Jimmy?
Some good beer steel bars here tonight, celebrating July Good Beer Month. Cheers to that. All right. So Mayor Bloomberg gave us a proclamation again this year, 5 years straight. It's July Good Beer Month. But the real impetus is the small, independently owned beer bars of which we have three here in the room tonight. And we've got some great guests tonight. We've got some people from Pilsner Urquell. There's a cool place in Manhattan called Tavern 29 that's here, and we're going to talk about some beer cocktails. So this show is kind of like the wide world of beer. We've got a lot of new people that I've never met in before, and we're going to try to integrate them all into the show. So first of all, thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. We know them as Union Beer, but they're all around the country. L Knife, there's so many great distributors. And really, for me, they're the stop shop for craft beer that I go to all the time. And they've been a big supporter of our show and of the Heritage Radio Network. First, a big shout-out. Heritage Radio Network is hosting on August 11th a special event. It's a Hawaiian barbecue. It's going to be out here at Roberta's. So you can go to heritageradionetwork.org. If you become a member, you get a lot of benefits, including you get to go to those special events. So here we are with Ken. Ken, you're at Kilmeyer's. One of the older, he's got a phone, and it's so quaint.
It's so annoying. Huh?
But Ken grew a beard since last year. So, Ken, you've got one of the oldest bars in New York City.
Yes, sir.
And you're way down in the south of Staten Island.
Yes, sir.
So, like, tell me about your draft beer system, because we're going to talk to the guys from Pilsner and Cal who have some pretty interesting, draft systems. What is your draft system?
Well, we have one of those stainless steel coil systems. It's packed in ice. It's been there forever, and we've been pretty much, trying to reject all those Perlick systems that are being pushed on us. But our beer system is just come to the walk-in refrigerator box is right below us. So it just comes straight up, and the coils are stainless steel wrapped in ice every day. And that's it. And my phone's ringing, and it's annoying. But
it's okay. But you're like one of the pioneers of craft beer in Staten Island.
Yes, sir.
And how did you get started? What was the first bar you owned?
Well, I owned Adobe Blues first. I opened that up about 21 years ago. And the thought was very basic. It was that on Staten Island, if you wanted a beer, your choice was either Heineken, Budweiser, Coors, the basic big boys. And we wanted to have the largest beer selection on Staten Island, which really wasn't very hard to do at the time. We just opened it up and started, adding all the other breweries. And soon everybody responded to it so positively, the beer list grew from 80 to 250 very, very quickly. And we actually became, next to the Peculiar Pub on Bleecker Street, the second largest beer list in all of New York City at one point.
Ken, what year was this?
This was about, 1993, 94. It was way back when. I know a lot of places have surpassed Jekyll and Hyde. A lot of places have surpassed us since then.
Well, we're really happy to honor you because, we met you last year. We went to Staten Island, and people said there's got to be a good Brazil bar in Staten Island. We went to Adobe Blues and went all the way to the tip of Staten Island. It really is the southernmost point of New York State, which is amazing to think about. It's a big state. But we're really impressed by your bar, and I know that where you are, I'm sure you have – it's probably not Craft Beer Central, right?
No, it's not. It actually is an old German community, which is a which is what the neighborhood was called, Kreischerville, 150 years ago. The bar was built in 1859 to service the German immigrants, which was the largest immigrant group on Staten Island. And we just sort of like picked up and said, okay, you know, there's not really any German restaurants on Staten Island anymore. So we made a German restaurant and renamed it after that original family, the Kilmeyer family. We're basically a German restaurant. We have a large selection of German beers. We also have a very large German beer garden outside, seats about 150 people. And we have so many tap lines, we just decided, well, you know, let's include all the local craft brewers in that.
We've done a great job of keeping it going, and we have a lot of guests tonight. So here's Heather Rush from Pine Box Rock Shop. Heather, how are you?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
So what have you been doing for July Good Beer Month at Pine
Box? We got our new cask beer system, which we talked about last time we were on the air, and then had a big party for Heavy Seas. And we are running through some beer cocktails, which I brought some delicious samples for you guys today.
All right, so we're going to get to that later in the show, but you hang with me because you're our, you know, in studio buddies. So we need buddies. There's all these strangers here. It's like, gosh, I know everybody in the beer world, and suddenly today I got people. Brian Panzica, he's the trade quality manager from Pilsner Urquell, and he's pulled up with a van that's got this crazy, you know, traditional Pilsner Urquell setup. And we were just outside a little while ago drinking beer, which is pretty awesome. On the street, we were on Moore Street in Bushwick. If you see the Pilsner Urquell van, Brian, what should they do? Should they knock on the window and say, can people actually go in and get a beer? How does it work?
It doesn't exactly work that way, Jimmy. What we're doing is we're using the van as a promotional tool to go around to existing and prospective customers to sort of explain the quality initiative that Pilsner Urquell has really put forth over the past couple of years. So about 2 years ago, or, you know, early 2012, Pilsner Urquell started express cold shipping all the beer. So when it leaves the brewery and goes to the boats, it's on a cold box. When it's on the boat, it's in a cold box. And when it goes to the distributor, it's all refrigerated at 32 degrees. And that right there makes Pilsner Urquell the highest quality import into the United States. So to take it that one step further, what we're doing now is we're bringing the actual faucets over from the Czech Republic. So it is as traditional as you can get. So now the Pilsner that you get here in the United States tastes almost exactly like the Pilsner that you get in the Czech Republic.
So Brian, you've been doing this a long time. You're an accomplished bartender. And we try to raise the professionalism because there's some really great people that have been working in beer and bars for a long time. How did you get started doing this?
Well, as you said, I've been a bartender straight through for the past 10 years in New York City. It's some pretty you know, impressive places, Rosie O'Grady's in Midtown and then GMT Tavern down on Bleecker Street, right across the street from the Peculiar Pub there. And I was invited by Pilsner Urquell to participate in the 2012 International Master Bartender Competition, which is actually about to start right now. We're still in the process of seeking candidates, and it's going to go off the beginning of it's July 29th, and then the actual competition is going to be September 9th at Hospoda up on 73rd Street in New York. And I ended up winning the competition last year against 30 other bars in New York City. And from that, I then went to compete against 12 other countries in the Czech Republic. And I came in second by 1 point. Out of something like 200 total points, I had 169, and the guy that won had 170.
Where was he from?
He was from Norway. Real beer guy. Really, really knew his stuff. And he had a lot to say about beer in general. I'd like to feel that I'm at that level now, but I just wasn't then. So
you are, but he has nothing else to live for. You know?
He's got the title, can't get it again this year. So when I came back from the Czech Republic, they felt that they could really work with me because not only my knowledge of beer, but what they had to teach me. And here I am. I'm trade quality manager for Pilsner Urquell.
So I know you have some initiatives that I've seen. So how many different ways are there to pour Pilsner Urquell?
There are four totally different ways.
Some of them are kind of weird.
Yeah, like the Maliko, which is ultimately it's like 7/8 foam and 1/8 beer. It's basically served as a dessert pour. It's a digestif. So they'll traditionally drink it, and they, meaning the Czechs, they'll traditionally drink it after a meal. It actually helps you digest your food a little bit. It's a very sweet pour. You get a lot of malty sweetness from the malt. Not a lot of hop aroma, which is traditional for the smooth pour.
How does it? I don't understand how that works. You're not just pouring foam.
Well, the side handle faucet actually enables us to fill an entire glass with just foam. That's what the faucet's got, that little agitator screen that I told you about in there, and that will let the entire glass fill up with foam, and as it slowly starts to settle, there will be a little bit beer on the bottom of the glass. If you pour an entire glass of foam or even a pitcher of foam, that's actually 25% beer. It will settle into that, and then the rest of the foam will dissipate. But if you, they drink it in one full quaff. They'll take the whole thing back, and it does help settle the stomach. They will also traditionally drink it as their last beer of the evening, like right before they go home. And it's a, you know, like I said, it's a digestive. It makes
so
you
it's stomach. Like I'm not really having another beer. I'm just having foam.
But it's a really sweet foam, and it's got that texture of the cappuccino foam, which makes it feel nice going down your throat.
And okay. You still get to charge them for a full beer.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, Heather, you're always thinking that. You guys are too good. I can't compete with you guys. Come on. So what are the other three ways of pouring Pilsner & Co.?
Okay, so the crisp is traditional in the United States. We normally pour that into a Pilsner glass. The smooth is their tradition, which is what we had in the van. You know, the 35 millimeters of foam, nice, dense liquid foam up top. The Maleco, and that's it. You know, the crisp is very traditional as to what we do here in the States, and it's not all that common over there. Like I said, their tradition is the smooth. With that nice two fingers of foam on top.
It's a nice beer. Are you also selling like some other special versions, like unfiltered Pilsner Kel?
Well, in the Czech Republic, they have what they call tank beer, and it's literally completely different than what we have here. The beer is not it's not oxidized. There's no CO2 pressure inside a keg or whatnot. The bag is actually it's a bag inside a pressurized tank. So the bags are actually filled from a truck that's very similar to an 18-wheeler. And what they do is they fill it up with the beer, and then the outside of that bag is inside a tank. That's pressurized with. It could just be CO2. So as you're actually pouring the beer in the Czech Republic at one of these tank bars. The beer is being squeezed out by the pressure of the CO2, but the CO2 never touches the oxygen. So it's unfiltered, unpasteurized, and it's also not oxidized in any way, shape, or form. So that truly is as if you were drinking it in the cellars of the Pilsner Brewery in Pilsen.
So you know, Czech had a great beer history. I mean, we all know that. It's where Pilsner came from. But we had the guys from Kote, which is a real small brewery. They were on a few weeks ago. Do you get a chance to go to Czech Republic and
I've been once see the beer scene? For the competition, and I was in Pilsen and then in Prague for a little bit. But honestly, I'll tell you, once you go to the brewery in Pilsen, you want to spend as much time as you can there. You go down in the cellars, and these cellars have not changed in over 100 years. The beer itself is 170 years old, and they tend not to change a lot, especially because of the fact that they were... Nazi occupied during the war, and then also they were under communist rule for so long they weren't allowed to change their brewery, which is the reason why they just have the one lager, the Pilsner style lager. They never branched out into anything because they didn't really have the opportunity. So the cellars look exactly the way that they did over 100 years ago. They're still, you know, lagering beer in huge wooden barrels down there. But I chose to stay in and around the Pilsen brewery. It was really nice.
That's great. And Ken, you just poured something really good. What is it?
Well, actually, this is a German beer called Schoferhofer Grapefruit Weiss. It is something that I was just turned on to this year. I'm selling it out in my beer garden. It's become very, very popular. It doesn't even taste like a beer. My daughter equates it to Yaritos grapefruit soda. It's such a strong grapefruit flavor.
Yeah.
But it's very refreshing and... at the risk of sounding sexist, the ladies like it very much.
Well, I like
it's
it, too.
Pretty low ABV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
All right. So cheers to everybody. This is a full room. We've got a lot more to do on the show. Wow. And earlier, just so you know, we'll play a bit of it later. We actually went into the Pilsner Raquel van, which is right now, if you're listening live, it's parked on Moore Street in Bushwick. And it's like a full keg setup in there.
I hope it's still part of it.
Talk about lovely. Beer, like beer. This is the Wide World of Beer show, the beer promotions. What are you guys doing with a van that has like a draft in the middle?
It's a man cave.
I mean, for real, bro. Like,
the couch. That's about it.
Where else are you guys going to go with this van? Why do you guys have beer in a van?
We go to all the local and regional markets. We go down to D.C., Philadelphia, up to Boston, Poughkeepsie area, Newburgh area. And what we're really just trying to do is show present and future accounts the benefits of the side-handle tap system and the different pours, the actual different flavors you can get from the actual faucet. you know, from the one pour that's the smooth pour, the traditional pour, versus the Mlieko, it makes the beer taste completely different. The Mlieko is very, very malty, sweet, and the smooth pour, you get a nice floral aroma and just a little bit of that hop bitterness. But it matters 100% the way that you actually draft the beer as to the way that the beer tastes. And we felt very much so that we wanted to show people that. We wanted to put a beer right in front of them and get them to taste the difference, because just talking about it really is not going to get your point across. People are going to have a hard time believing and or understanding as to, you know, just by pouring it differently, how you can get a different flavor.
And just for the record, Brian's the only guy in the room who's not drinking beer. Because, wow, you have to drive the van,
I have to
right?
drive the van.
See, he's stuck with the van.
Thank you for putting that on record. I appreciate that.
He's not drinking beer. Excellent. But the rest of us. But, Ken, this is great. I've never had this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw it for the first time. I guess they just started presenting it, and it immediately became a bit of a hit with my my customers.
Brian, is it true that some accounts in the States have an unfiltered Pilsner Urquell or some other type of special Pilsner Urquell?
Urban legend.
That would be very limited coming over from the United States. It would be if they were doing some sort of a promotion. I don't know anything about that. If they do come over and it's unfiltered and unpasteurized, it comes over in a small wooden barrel and it's express shipped over here via airplane. You know, I think every beer that comes over from Europe has to be pasteurized. So that right there, if it's going to be on a boat, it has to be pasteurized. But those special barrels may be floating around for special occasions throughout the year, but I'm not very privy to that.
All right. Well, hey, thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This one's called Someone Like You by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from Beer Sessions Radio.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile beer cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're live at Roberta's in Bushwick. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, the Good Beer Seal. I got Ken Tirado from Kilmeyer's Bavarian Inn in Staten Island. Heather Rush.
How you doing?
Pine Box Rock Shop. So, Heather, what do you think of the show so far?
It's awesome.
And then we talked to the guy from Pilsner. He gets to drive around in a van. He can't drink beer, but he pours beer.
I was really exciting that you won a bartending competition just serving beer. serving beer, but that they would even have like a bartending competition with a beer focus. I think that's really great.
It is. Get Brian on one more time. So Brian, working for Pilsner. So tell us more about that competition, because I'd never heard of that before.
What it actually was, Jimmy, is that we had to learn a lot about the brewing process. We had to learn learn the entire history of the beer. And, you know, that starts with just in 1838, there was a revolt. They dumped half the beer, you know, like 36 barrels of beer down the drain, and basically said, we're not going to stand for this anymore, because they were drinking sludge for the most part. And it took them roughly 4 years to gain all the technology to build a new brewery. And then in 1842, that's when they actually started brewing the golden beer that is now Pilsner Urquell. It always was, you know, same recipe and whatnot. But we had to learn the entire history of the brand, the entire brewing process, you know, everything from multiple choice questions to diagrams and whatnot. There's a presentation involved, and then you do a Q&A, and you have to answer questions up on stage in front of, you know, several people.
So, Brian, you also took the Cicerone program.
Yes, sir. It's the Cicerone beer
the
beer
server. So do you think that really prepared you for... I mean, I took the Cicerone beer server course, too, and I thought it was great. there are areas I'd never, you know, covered before. I mean, did anything you want to say about that?
Well, I think the Cicerone prepares you for a great beer experience when you're working in a bar. You know the difference between ales and lagers and, you know, subtypes, subclassifications. As far as this competition, I definitely think that it, you know, top fermentation versus bottom fermentation, ales versus lagers, it helps you get a better understanding of how Pilsner Kell came to its fruition because of the fact that they're using a different strain of yeast. They used the Pilsner 8 strain, which is a lager yeast, and it was also fermented at colder temperatures in the cellars in Pilsen. So, yeah, the Cicerone certification course definitely had a little bit of impact in the difference, knowing the difference between ales and lagers and whatnot.
You know, did you ever take it, Ken, Cicerone?
No, I didn't, but I do know that I have a very large Russian clientele down at the bottom of Staten Island, and they all are really, really huge Pilsner Urquell fans. They ask for the beer all the time, and it is considered like the gold standard of a certain style of beer from a certain part of, you know, of the world.
Do they fly in from Russia just to come to your bar?
I would love to say yes to that, but not really, no.
There's a lot of cool things going on down there. I mean, if I was in the southernmost part of New York State, I would be at Kilmar's every day. But it's getting there. That's the hard part, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, Heather, what about you? Have you or your staff been involved in any type of, you know, beer education or programs like Cicerone?
No, everything's been kind of done in-house and on our – I didn't even know about this, actually. I'd love to get my staff in on that.
You're so good. And Jeff's here, too. He's over there in the corner. He's letting Heather talk.
He always lets
so let's
me
get,
talk.
Let's get to the beer cocktail. This is kind of fun. So this is the Wide World of Beer show. We've got the, one of the cooler things is a beer cocktail. So we did something last year at Jimmy's Number 43. We had the beer cocktail brunch off. We had some cool beer reps like Sean McCain when he worked at Victory and Maya Raposa from Brooklyn Brewery and some other home brewers. They all made really cool beer cocktails. But we've got a special guest I want to introduce first. It's her first time on the show. And if I pronounce your name right, tell us your name so I don't mispronounce it.
Well, hi, Jimmy. Thank you for having me. My name is Kara Tallon, and I'm here from Tavern 29. Which is located at 47 East 29th Street in Manhattan.
Wow, so you're in Midtown Manhattan.
Yes,
and
yes.
And you guys, do you have a beer garden or anything?
We do. We have three floors, one of which is a rooftop beer garden. And we have over 24 draft lines and a lot of exciting things going on right now.
All right. So I know you're here with some of your team. One of the owners is here and publicists. So you're trying to showcase them. So you're going to make us a beer cocktail today, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So how did you get started in this business?
When I was 18, I'm from Pennsylvania, first of all, outside of Harrisburg. I went in for a serving job, and they just said, yeah, that's not going to work. And so they said, we'll train you to be a bartender. You might have enough friendliness to do that.
And you weren't friendly enough to
I wasn't friendly enough to be a server. That's pretty much what they told me, which now I think take as a bit of a compliment. But ever since
She's
then...
She's tough. She's really tough. Watch
ever out. Since then, I'm, you know, I ended up moving to New York in 2005 and doing my master's degree and what have you, but have always been bartending and managing in recent years and doing a lot of fun things with beer as well as liquor.
So I'm always interested in people's day-to-day job because I really think that, you know, the restaurant, hospitality, bar business is a serious job and there's really great people in it. Like day-to-day, what do you do at your job?
I mean, every day is different. I think that's why most people in hospitality are drawn to it and we keep going back again and again. You know, I wake up in the morning and it's like, what fire could I put out today? Or what great idea could I execute? It starts with, you know, general operations. And, you know, from there, managing staff, dealing with vendors, and finding new and exciting ways to bring people into our really fun place. So, yeah, every day is different.
All right. So we're going to make some beer cocktails. And then we've also, Heather, you brought your guy.
Yeah, I brought Tony Pontius, our Bloody Mary guru.
Why is he named as Tony TK? Bartender and Bloody Mary guru, Pine Box Rock Shop.
Well, the TK part, I don't really know anything about. But like I said earlier, I'll just be totally keen. Bloody Mary guru, yeah. I make all the Bloody Marys. We only do Bloody Marys on Saturdays and Sundays for a limited time. And the reason is because we do six and sometimes like seven or eight. I have a couple of off menu ones. If you know, you get talking to me about Bloody Marys, I'll make you one of the special ones. And that's pretty fun. And
they're all special.
They're all special.
Well, yeah, they're all.
That's Jeff Rush over there. Jeff's too shy to sit in front of a microphone, but not really.
He's not shy.
He's not shy. How did you get started? You're another accomplished bar person.
When I moved to the city, I just I started bartending just to meet people, and I met Heather and Jeff like at an old place that they used to work at, and when they opened up their place, I told them that they're taking me with them. So.
Yeah, he didn't even ask. Because I'm coming with you.
So and I just I'm pretty much a utility player over at the Pine Box. I also run the sound for our showroom, and just take care of anything that needs to be taken care of, and make up beer cocktails and Bloody Marys.
So which cocktail should we try first? Who's ready?
I'm not sure. Some of your cocktails are really like over the top. I mean, there are decorations and layers and levels.
Hey, if anybody in this room has a camera, take a picture and tweet it to at beer _ sessions. And Maggie, I know Maggie's out there. Maggie, we need some photos of these beer cocktails because they look pretty swanky.
Like, I think we'll need some straws to taste.
It's like the biggest piece of celery I've ever seen in Tony's.
Well, I think Tony TK's. I mean, I love Bloody Marys. And I think you're putting me to shame here with these Bloody Marys. But no, they look great. I think we should start with yours.
Sure. Why not?
Let's pass it. I think we're going to sip from the same cup. We're just going to get sexy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I want it. Come on.
Well, this is a this is one of Heather's inventions. It is a Jameson-based Bloody Mary with tomato juice, a little horseradish, a little chipotle seasoning, I'm not sure what we use today
any Sly Fox Dry Irish Stout, so I use the Dragon Head, which is not something we would normally carry because we usually focus on domestics, but is a wonderful Irish stout with some great malt.
If you could see the garnish, all I want to do is like there's that garnish of like Tony. What are the garnishes? Because I want to eat them all. One
pickled okra, a baby gherkin, a garlic stuffed olive, a pickled turnip, a peppercini, and a pickled green bean.
And just say the Pilsner Raquel actually is a great chaser for this. I've been downing my Pilsner Raquel. I still want an unfiltered Pilsner Raquel. Like I want something, you know, the next step up. Come on.
Even in New Orleans, you don't see Bloody Marys tiered like that.
That's Tony, is this actually what you guys would sell at Pine Box Rock Shop?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like lots of vegetables.
Well, every single, like I said, we mainly have six on the menu, but everything has a different. Garnish combination.
And so, you know, everyone's passing around this towel because he's packed his pint glass with, like, booze and tomatoes and vegetables, and every time you sip it, it's spilling out. It's called abundance. I do like that.
I wear them on my shoes and my pants every Saturday and Sunday. Heather actually bought me an apron once, but I just don't wear it well.
I know. What do you think of boys to wear aprons?
You're too good. You guys are really awesome. Ken, what do you think? Isn't that's like the craziest Bloody Mary you ever saw?
It's wonderful, though. I mean, I'm a big Bloody Mary fan myself, and, you know, to me, pickled okra is exotic. This takes it a few steps higher.
All right, next we have Cara Talons. What drink did you make for us?
Well, I made something called the Pearl Street that we have available both at Stone Street Tavern as well as Tavern 29. And it's kind of like my homage to Summer in the South. I love drinking sweet tea and bourbon. I mean, that's all there is to it. But you're in New York City and you might be sitting on a rooftop. Maybe you're not. So we can make some things that are pretty fun. What this is it's a combination of Bushmills Irish Whiskey with RJ Rocker's Son of a Peach Wheat Unfiltered Ale. So there's your unfiltered today, which is out of South Carolina, with just some great peaches out of California pureed and a little bit of mint. So it's refreshing, it's light, it's easy, and I think hopefully everyone likes it today.
So what is the basis of having a beer cocktail? I mean, cause with a cocktail you want to – like I know that if you don't have a liquor license, sometimes we want to make a beer cocktail so you have a cocktail. But why use beer in a cocktail if you already have liquor?
Well, I mean, I think we both can answer that. I mean, you know, New Yorkers love doing weird and strange things. I mean – anyone who's a drinker. And the premise of mixing...
string beans. Pretty good.
the premise of like mixing a shot and a beer is so innate and so normal to me.
It is with me too. Yeah. It's a Midwest thing.
I think it's a New York thing as well. I mean,
well, yeah, people.
You know, you want to walk into a bar and you're like, well, I'd like a beer, but I'd also like a shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fun to combine the two things, and I think it gives us even more flexibility. I'm going to take a sip here.
Yeah.
And a lot of freedom. I mean, why not? Why not?
That's fine. So what is that a play on, the one that you made?
Is it? Well, this is our Michelada.
Ooh, that's good.
So, yeah, but, you know.
Oh, that's the Michelada. Yeah. Oh, this is the one that you made.
Which one is yours?
That's what I made.
Oh, man.
No, mine doesn't have any.
This is like
garnish.
Beer cocktail party. I just had the wrong drink.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. So. That was good, though, by the way. That's a very nice beer cocktail.
Thank you.
And what was yours again?
This is mine. You're welcome to try it.
I think let's just talk us through the recipes again, because I think that
I think we got mixed up.
If I'm listening in England or Michigan or California, I want to know how to make all three of these drinks.
Okay. Well, for mine, for a 16-ounce cocktail, what I would do is I would take, I mean, it depends how big your pants are, but I would take about 1.5 ounces of Bushmills Irish whiskey, and I would mix it with about 1 ounce of some kind of fruit puree. Preferably, I do Frog Hollow peaches. And then, you know, add some RJ Rocker's beer over ice. And if you feel so inclined to garnish with mint, then you got a beer cocktail.
So why did you pick RJ Rocker's beer?
I mean, it's interesting. First of all, it's from South Carolina. How many beers do you know from South Carolina? There really aren't a huge
Westbrook.
Amount. Westbrook is one. But, you know, there aren't a ton out there, I must say, at least compared to where I'm from. And so, you know, with the idea of it being from the South, mixed with peaches, very Southern, and, you know, hot weather, I think it's a great combination. And then, you know, to do a little play, I prefer whiskey to bourbon, so I went the whiskey route.
So why do you add, I mean, just going back to it, mm-hmm. if you have your whiskey and you have your fruit, how does beer play into these beer cocktails?
Well, I think it adds carbonation. You know, if you make margaritas as though I do, especially at home, you add a can of beer to give it that carbonation, that fizz. And I think that's something that's...
Wait, I want to try that. What is it? It's a beer margarita?
Oh, you don't put a beer in your margarita?
I've never heard of this.
Oh, you need to
Ken,
come to
have you heard of this?
No, Ken, no, you no, need no, to come no. to one of my barbecues.
Wait,
it
no,
makes
no,
my
no,
margaritas no. that much better.
I've heard of Grand Marnier. I've heard of Cointreau.
Oh,
wait, what do they call it?
Beer garitas? A little,
no, but I've been doing this much longer than some other beer companies, let's be honest. But no, it just adds that acidity and that fizz. But
So you're making your margarita.
Yes.
And then just walk us through, because I've never heard of it.
Okay, this is a whole different show on margaritas there, Ken, all right? If you want to hear my margarita recipes, you're going to have to invite me back. But back to beer cocktails in themselves, I think it's important to just, you know, highlight the beer itself. I mean, you're adding things that are going to make a beer, which is already pretty great, even better, and make it a little bit, a little stronger, a little bit more exciting.
Puts it over the top.
Why not?
All right. And Tony TK, what are you making? Are you just pouring a beer? I feel like every time these guys pour a beer, it's like a beer cocktail. He's putting something in it, too. So what is this?
This is our IPA Manhattan. You were asking about how like beers combine with booze to make different flavors. So instead of adding bitters, we're adding 120 IBU IPA to top that off. So that's the bitter that you're going to taste in the sweetness.
So this is basically, it tastes like a hoppy beer, but underneath it,
there's a lot of
booze. There's bourbon.
It's rye whiskey.
Rye whiskey.
Yeah, rye whiskey. And, rye whiskey, sweet vermouth, some brandied cherry brine, and some very bitter, very bitter.
I'm
going
to ask you guys, at both of you, Kara and Tony TK, you guys going to have to give us your recipes, and we'll put them on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
More than right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that one's a real kicker because
yeah.
Wait, tell me what that one is again, because this
it's
is really
an
cool.
IPA Manhattan.
An IPA so Manhattan. Yes.
And which beer was that? 120 IBUs.
That's a Devil Dancer, Founder's Devil Dancer.
Nice.
Yes.
That's really exciting. On Monday, the 29th, rather, we'll be hosting Founders. You guys should come over.
Oh, we'd love to.
We're doing in conjunction.
So at Tavern 29?
Tavern?
You guys are also, you're Tavern 29 and Stone Street Tavern.
We have two locations.
So yeah. Stone Street's really special. If you go downtown, I like Stone Street Tavern a lot. There's also the crazy Irish guys, Ulysses, and the Growler now, too, right?
It's a great location. It's one of the oldest, you know, streets in Manhattan. You know, there's still cobblestones. You can sit outside. It's near the Elevated Acre, which is this great location that you can go and get lunch. We have a pop-up location there right now. And, you know, it offers, a lot of fun things to do. But back to the Founders event and talking about beer cocktails. Founders is coming in on Monday, July 29th to Tavern 29, and they're bringing in six great beers that we pair with Murray's Cheese as well. They'll be involved. Cool. And you can welcome to come by and taste some awesome cheeses that go perfectly with not only the Founder selection, but as well as our beer cocktails.
Why is it called Tavern 29?
Well, it's on 29th Street.
It is on 29th Street.
Ah. I mean, that's pretty indicative of why it's called that. In addition to that, you know, Stone Street Tavern, Tavern 29, there's something great about the word tavern. It makes us think of Ireland. It makes us think about drinking in places that have been drinking far longer than we've been alive.
Are you part Irish?
I am. I'm a mix of a lot of different things. But Talon is an Irish last name. And, I used to live in Northern Ireland for several years, so...
Wow. So when you go out in the city, what are some places you like to go? And what do you like to drink when you're not at your bar?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, Tavern 29, of course, is my favorite place to go. but aside from that, there are a lot of great places depending on what my mood is. You know, if I'm going out for a cocktail, I'm definitely going to stop at the Rye House and see some of the fun things that they're doing. Beer-wise, you know, there are some great selections. I always pop over to Cannibal, which is one of our neighbor restaurants. They've got
we're buddies with them.
Yeah, they've got some fun stuff going on at all points in time. But, you know, there's always classics like the Blind Tiger and what have you if you're looking for beer. But as I said, cocktail-wise, I'll stop at the Rye House. I don't know. They've been doing some good things
for a while. I'll say this. I like the beer cocktails. I'm going to tell you this. I really like beer better. Nothing against you guys.
Someday we'll convert you.
The reason there's a song that we used to play, and we're gonna go into break a minute. It was Tom T. Hall. It was called "I Like Beer." And if you want to Google it, Google Tom T. Hall's "I Like Beer." It tells you why I like beer. Because you know what? You can keep drinking it, and it keeps you going. I don't know. Once you put liquor in, I'm like, I think to me, and this is, I'm gonna make a statement on here. To me, except for certain really special spirits, but even then, they're in question. Is it basically? It spirits are an easy way out, and I really am a fan of really good specialty beer. I think it takes a lot more care from the ingredients up. And I know that with just a base of you can ferment sugar and water, and you can still make a spirit. And there's nothing like a really good beer, and that's really what we're trying to get to here. So let's just raise our glasses. We're taking another short break. We'll be back, and we're going to be inside the Pilsner Urquell van on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, cheers.
Hey, Jen.
You're listening to DD by Pamela Royal on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. It's July Good Beer Month. You don't think about it, but Mayor Bloomberg has given a proclamation for the fifth year once again, and he's awesome. And this weekend coming up, we've got the New York State Food and Beer Expo in Williamsburg. It's actually going to be the first time in New York City we've had 25 New York State breweries, only New York State breweries, an outdoor festival, which is pretty cool. And then next Wednesday, July 31st, the Good Beer event, which we co-founded with Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan 5 years ago. That's going to be where we present our new Good Beer Seal Awards. And that's where last year we met Kill Myers from Staten Island and Pine Box Rock Shop. So who's going to be the new Good Beer Seal bars? We'll find out. You can come to Good Beer event at 82 Mercer in Manhattan next week. And you're all invited. Email us. I'll give you our email. What is it? foodkarma@gmail.com if you want to get a special invite. We'll get you in. And otherwise, tweet us at @beer_sessions. We also have a couple I Like Beer t-shirts with us tonight, which we're going to give out. So, hey, we're talking about beer cocktails, but we started off the night parked out on Moore Street in Bushwick. Brian from Pilsner Urquell has a van with this really cool setup. And I think Joe's going to cut to us. We were over there. We're not sure how the recording came out, but we were hanging out in a van on Moore Street drinking beer. Take it away, Joe. Here we are inside the Pilsner Urquell van with Brian Panzica. Brian, what are we doing in here?
What I'm here to do is show you guys a little bit about Czech culture and quality. We're trying to introduce the founts, the Pilsner Urquell founts, bring them over from the Czech Republic to the United States. We do things a little bit differently over there in the Czech Republic. As you can see, this is a side-handle tap system. In the United States, we use a pull-front tap system, and you pour beer completely differently on this system versus that system. Whereas that system, the normal pour in the United States is called a crisp, where you actually have to agitate the beer to get the proper head or manipulate the tap handle. These systems right here, this faucet is actually geared to pour foam at will.
He's pouring foam. So we're really inside this portable Pilsner Urquell van. He's trying to explain to us how he pours beer, but it's hard to get that over the radio. But when we go back inside, we're going to talk to him a little more about that. But why don't you pour the beer for us and let's taste it. So there's how many different ways of pouring this? Five different ways?
There are four different ways, and the traditional way that they serve here in the Czech Republic is just called the smooth. So what they do differently is, this is a very hygienic system where this gets sanitized, this entire faucet gets sanitized every evening. So the health department doesn't have a problem with us touching the faucet or actually dropping the shank into the glass. So that's what they do over there. They drop the foam in first, and then they pour the beer from the bottom up. So now this entire beer has not been oxidized yet. It hasn't touched any oxygen. And you can see that there's a very dense layer of what we call liquid foam. It's a barrier layer.
Ken, you want one?
Absolutely. I love the bidet. I've never seen a beer.
Yeah, I know. At Kilmar's in Staten Island, you have some pretty authentic draft systems, don't you?
Not as fancy as this, though. I will say that.
And this is very traditional in the Czech Republic. You'll find this at most of the restaurants or bars that serve Pilsner Urquell.
So what is this pour called that you made? It's like mostly beer with a little head on top.
It's got 35 millimeters of head, which they consider the perfect two fingers of foam. This is called the smooth, or the hledinka, which is very traditional in the Czech Republic. And as you can see, in your glass, because of the glass rinser, it's a perfectly beer-clean glass. There are no bubbles on the side. All the carbonation is perfectly coming up from the bottom. And that is a direct result of the glass rinser.
So this is a standard Pilsner Urquell draft?
Yes, sir. That's normally what you would get in the Czech Republic. It's either served in one of these mugs or it's served in a goblet, a tall Pilsner goblet.
So what are you doing? You're driving around giving out beer in vans?
Well, so we're just in it's before we started the show, we went out into the van on Moore Street, and there was this hum behind us. So it didn't really come out recording-wise, but really got to see Brian in his element. And I want to go back to this. So you participated in that bartending competition, and your reward is you get to – how long are you going to be the rep for this special program? Well, it's like the bartender's dream, right? It's pretty cool, right?
You got to stop bartending at some point in time. You just get to that age where too many bottles of Grey Goose in a night, you wake up feeling it a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, this is a natural progression, natural transgression into a new field. But it's also something, I've grown to love. When they offered me the opportunity, I was over the moon. I didn't really want to go work for a spirits company. I've always liked beer, and the Pilsner Urquell turned out to be a really special beer for me. When you sort of immerse yourself into their culture, reading and studying for the test was a big part of that. And all the people that work for the company, everybody that I've met, from the brewmaster Vaslav to all the brand ambassadors, all the people that are involved in marketing and everything, they're really, really good people, and they really care about their beer. So I'm happy to be a part of this family.
Well, let's do this. As we talk about beer cocktails, the wide world of beer, let's go through some of our experts here. And start with Ken. Tell us what you really like about craft beer and why you're doing this instead of selling something else like wine or spirits or something else.
Well, for one thing, I like being local. And there have been lately so many wonderful craft beers that have been brewed in New York State, even in Brooklyn itself, for instance. We now have not only do we have the Brooklyn Brewery, of course, but we have Kelso, we have Six Point, we have Coney Island. It's so great to be able to do like a made in New York thing, and you have a Blue Point in Long Island, and then of course you go upstate. there's so many more. But there's something about having local breweries to me that just is so important.
Let's get Jeff Rush from Pine Box Rock Shop. You too. You're really a big supporter of craft beer. What makes it appealing for you?
It's better beer than big market beer. It's cared for more. The love that goes into it shows when you're drinking it. It's how I became a lover of IPAs. It's what's missing from most of the big market beers for sure.
All right, and Heather from Pine Box Rock Shop. Tell us a few things.
I totally agree with you about the local aspect of it. It's so great to be able to serve beer that's made up the road. The brewers come into the bar. The brewmasters come into the bar. That's amazing. But there's also so many great flavors that you can pull out of a beer just using basic ingredients, and you have something that tastes like banana or something that tastes like grapefruit. Like, that's fun to work with, and it's really fun to introduce customers to.
Great. And I'll go back to Brian, because one thing you've learned, it's pretty awesome. There's also these great European traditions that, you know, fuck the Nazis. I mean, I just say that on there. And whatever there was. I mean, everybody.
The elephant in the room is now gone.
You said it. So we're really happy that a lot of Eastern Europe is back and doing things like making beer. Yeah. So, but there's these great traditions. Like, I never saw this. All these weird pouring things. I mean, that's real. Is it just a gimmick, or do people really, is the way you pour beer and the technology behind it, does it make a difference?
No, ironically enough, that sort of faucet came around, I believe, because of a lack of a technology, where it's actually still got the flow control valve on it with the compensator plug on the inside. And what that, I believe, originally did was, and it still does, obviously, it speeds or lowers the flow of beer out of the faucet. But that's, I believe, because they were using like hand pumps or foot pumps, and you couldn't really control the rate of flow, so you actually have to control it on the faucet, which nowadays it's basically obsolete, because if you have like a primary regulator on your main CO2 and then a secondary regulator in your keg room, you control the pressure of how fast that beer comes out of the faucet downstairs in the keg room. So that's a very, very traditional faucet, and they stayed true to tradition with that. So it's not a gimmick. You'll find that all over the Czech Republic. If you go to Hospoda up on 73rd on the Upper East Side, that's the Czech restaurant in, you know, New York City, and they have five of them. And, you know, their system is actually very similar to that the tank bar that I was talking about. It looks exactly the same, but they just have their refrigerated kegs in there. But it's very similar style. And the food's very Czech. It's, you know, very traditional. And they do exactly that. They unscrew all their faucets every night. They sanitize them, and then they get to pour that traditional pour. And it's probably only one of about 10 places in New York City that you can find that right now, but we're trying to expand on that.
Right. And Tony, TK. Tony, so whether you're making beer cocktails or just bartending,
yeah,
what are a couple go-to craft beers that you like?
I'm really a huge fan of Crossroads up in Athens. I believe you had Kenny on here one time. Yeah.
We've had Kenny on. Yeah. Athens, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Their Outrage IPA is probably one of my favorite IPAs right now. And then I'm also a huge fan of Firestone Walker. I think that they're an exceptional brewery. And those would be my go-tos if I had to.
I really enjoyed your cocktails, too.
Thank you.
And Cara from Tavern 29 in Stone Tree Tavern. So tell us, you like craft beer, right?
I do.
So what are some of your favorites right now?
Well, some of my go-tos are, of course, Firestone Walker. Their Pils is coming out soon. We carry their DBA and, of course, the Union Jack. But in addition to that, you know, it is summertime, so I do go to a couple interesting places. One is Cisco Brewers out of Nantucket.
Yeah.
Still love them. I'm love with the Great Lady, you know. Not everyone is, but that's to each their own. In addition to that, I'm definitely still onto the Founders. You know, they've been one of my top four. Well, they've been one of the top four breweries the past few years. You know, you can't say no. And you know what? I'll pick up a Greenport Summer, a Greenport Harbor, whenever it's out and about. You know, support local.
All right. Well, I just want to say we've had a really great group of people here. I think we have the most people in the room ever. We've got some PR people back there, Joe and everybody, Amanda, some cool people, even the owner of Tavern 29. And then she had Kara speak for her. But we'll give a shout-out tomorrow. We're doing the last of the craft beer jams at WNYC's, the Green Space in Soho. I'll be hosting all the Queens craft breweries. We're looking forward to that. We got Robbie Crafton of Big Alice Brewery. Rich Castagna of Bridge and Tunnel Brewery, Ethan Long of Rockaway Brewing, and Brian Dwyer from Single Cut Beer Smiths, and Chris Schoenberger of First We Feast. This will be rocking it out. We'll be at thegreenspace.org. And this weekend, join the Good Brew Seal and Beer Sessions Radio and Biba of Brooklyn. We're doing the first annual New York State Food and Beer Expo on July 27th in Williamsburg, East River Park. So go to goodbrewseal.com and check it out. We have over 25 New York State breweries. I think it's the first time it's been done in the city, just all New York State breweries. And also we've got the Bushwick Block Party for Heritage Radio Network. And again, on August 11th, check us out, Hawaiian Barbecue at Roberta's, featuring our summer whole hog roast and food. It's one of the bigger fundraisers for the Heritage Radio Network.org. And again, it's a nonprofit now. You can become a member. The rates start, I think, at $25. I know Eddie's out there. It's like 25 and up, but if the higher you go, the more benefits. But it's still a deal. This is like the Foodies NPR, Heritage Radio Network. Okay. We've got some crazy stuff coming up. Just hang tight. This is Beer Sessions Radio. I'd like to thank our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com. We'll go around again. Ken and everybody else, thanks for joining me. Heather, we got some cool people, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. Thanks, everybody, including Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, engineer Joe Galarraga, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.